management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. And I got to tell you, the situation in America is bizarre in the extreme. The Democratic Party seems to have turned into a bunch of liars, phonies, cheats, and communists who want to destroy America. I mean, it's unbelievable. They don't seem to be having a lot of luck doing it. Here's one story I want to share with you. Critical swing voters in battleground states reveal why Kamala Harris helps Trump's re-election chances. When Joe Biden announced Senator Kamala Harris as his vice presidential running mate, political experts predicted that Harris, being the first black female vice presidential nominee of a major political party, would boost Biden's standing with voters. Now, remember, Kamala Harris was very unpopular. You had people like Marianne Williamson and this guy Yang, you know, and others, that other millionaire, they all hung in there longer than Kamala Harris. There were probably 15 Democrats that made it to the Iowa caucuses. Kamala didn't even make it to the Iowa caucuses. Why would anyone pick a woman who is so unpopular with the public to be the vice presidential nominee when they're supposed to help? She obviously couldn't help with the Electoral College in general because she doesn't come from a state that isn't already in the Democrats' back pocket. California, la-la land. It's turning into just a cesspool. I cannot believe everything I hear about out of California. Disgusting beyond belief. The governor locking down. You can't even go to the beaches without being harassed. I mean, it's just insanity. So they pick this Kamala Harris. No one seems to care for her. and they put her on the ticket. It turns out it was actually George Soros' son who selected her, called his father for confirmation. There was nothing Democratic about it. And now it's massively backfiring. Get this. But selecting Harris, a progressive Democrat, may have actually harmed Biden's standing among swing voters in battleground states, according to a new focus group. Following last week's vice presidential debate between Harris and Vice President Mike Pence, Axios conducted a focus group with Michigan voters who supported Barack Obama in 2012, but switched to Donald Trump in 2016. The majority of the swing voters said they would support Trump in this year's election because they believe Harris would eventually become president if Biden is elected. In other words, look, they're going to vote Trump because they're worried Harris would become president because Biden's not going to make it. They're actually saying that. They're saying Biden's not going to make it for 4 years, so Kamala Harris is going to be president then. And I have zero trust she can be president, so I'm just picking the lesser of two evils at this point. I mean, there are actually a whole lot of reasons why Trump would be a great choice, to which I shall return, but I'm fascinated by this right now. According to Axios, everyone else in the group agreed. Other swing voters told Axios they felt scared over Harris's debate performance because she may help Biden win the election. I'm fearful of this woman because she knows how to strike chords with the people of America. She's basically utilizing everything that's happened this year to attack the Trump campaign, and she does it in such a way that she's making really strong points. But I don't think they're true, so she's coming across very powerfully. According to Axios, only two in the group of 13 will vote for Biden. The other 13 will be sticking with Trump. Well, there's a whole lot more good news than that for Trump. But I'm just commenting right here on this situation with regard to Biden and Harris. Here's another. Holy hell, Joe Biden looks like death in Erie, Pennsylvania. Something is wrong with old Joe. Well, remember, he's been replaced by this more diminutive version who looks, to me, I agree, he looks older, but he's not in great shape. He's got ears, remember, that come right down into his face. He doesn't have earlobes. Joe Biden had earlobes. He's got brown eyes. Joe Biden had blue eyes. He's got a more longish face and narrower. Joe Biden had a more roundish, but he's actually smaller physically than Joe Biden. I mean, that was my first impression. Joe Biden ties his knots with a double Windsor, this guy a single Windsor. So get this. Holy hell, Joe Biden looks like death in Erie, Pennsylvania. Something is wrong with old Joe. On Saturday, Joe Biden held a rally with about 12 to 20 people in Erie, Pennsylvania, including his staff. And they got a photograph of this. I mean, it's ridiculous. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You can see 12 people there. How bad is that? I mean, this. I just can't believe how awful this Democratic campaign is going. Then we have another report here. Joe Biden now says we need more funding for the police. More funding for the police. And again, I tell you, this is the Biden stand-in. I'm looking at the photograph. He doesn't have the earlobes. I mean, they've gone full whole hog with this Joe Biden body double. Former Vice President Biden appears to be putting himself on the other side of the left-wing protesters he so desperately needs support from. In a recent town hall event hosted by NBC News, Biden attempted to reaffirm his image as a moderate centrist Democrat as opposed to the hardline progressives who surround his campaign at every turn. During one interaction, Biden attempted to play up his relationship with police officers, saying we need more funding for law enforcement. I mean, give us a break. This is in direct contrast to the protest movements like Black Lives Matter that Biden claims to support. A core tenet of the Black Lives Matter agenda, which you can see on the organization's website, as well as on picket signs at nearly every demonstration, is the defunding, even the dismantling of police departments. Democrat authorities, including New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, as well as his counterparts in Minneapolis, Los Angeles, many others, have been more than happy to kowtow to this demand. This isn't the only area in which we're seeing Biden desperately trying to veer to the center. If you've been paying attention to the endless barrage of advertisements we've all been subjected to, you might see a few familiar phrases in some of the former VT's comments. Ads calling for goods to be built in America, fair trade agreements, a return to manufacturing have become commonplace. Does that sound familiar? At this point, Biden is essentially plagiarizing President Trump's pro-blue-collar rhetoric. This raises the question, if hard left proposals such as defunding the police, a Green New Deal, and moving away from manufacturing are so popular, why does Biden have to pretend to be against them? Here's another. I love this. Biden and Harris hold a campaign event in Arizona, and the local news can't believe not one supporter showed up. Let me repeat that. This is so incredible. Biden and Harris hold a campaign event in Arizona, and the local news can't believe not one supporter showed up. Where, you know, Lori Price, my dear friend from CLG, I may have her here with me tomorrow. Tell me again about the polls that show Trump losing by 16 points to Biden. He can't even get 16 people to show at his rallies. Well, she makes a wonderful point, because here I am looking at another article just showed up. Panic Joe Biden issues statement about Trump's reckless behavior as Trump supporters form massive line 7 hours ahead of his first in-person post-COVID rally. Okay? They're getting in lines for Trump 7 hours in advance. President Trump tweeted about his first in-person rally since he and the First Lady Melania were diagnosed with COVID on October 2nd. The rally will be held in Sanford, Florida, a state where Trump is very popular with voters. In his tweet, President Trump claimed, November 3rd will be the most exciting day in U.S. election history, more so than 2016. He reminded Americans about the tremendous excitement and enthusiasm, saying perhaps like nothing we've ever seen before. He also took a jab at lackluster Joe Biden campaign. Nobody showing up to Sleepy Joe rallies. He added, places are dead, stiff. He ended a tweet with, see you in Florida tonight. Well, I'm quite enthusiastic about this guy. Trump, of course, is under a full assault by the Democratic Party's corporate media. Shared the names of the independent networks who are going to be carrying his rally tonight. Donald Trump, see you in Sanford, Florida tonight for a big rally covered live on OANN, Newsmax, and C-SPAN. Enjoy. Well, he means C-SPAN. Right. Good, good, good. Check it out on C-SPAN. 7 hours before the Sanford, Florida rally, and a massive crowd of Trump supporters are already lining up, hoping to get the chance to hear the president speak. Well, isn't that something? Meanwhile, let me just return to some of the key issues today that Chuck Schumer and Kamala Harris are already pushing demands before the Amy Coney Barrett hearings, which began today. Now, I've been on the air pretty much nonstop. I've already done three shows today already. One was an hour, another about an hour and a half, another 2 hours before coming on with you. So I haven't got the very latest of what's coming from the hearings, but get this. Chuck Schumer came out to demand that Amy Coney Barrett recuse herself from the November 10th Supreme Court hearing on Obamacare and any decision about the November 3rd election. Why in God's name should she do that? I mean, this is ridiculous. But then Chuck Schumer is a ridiculous person. Not long after Schumer made his indefensible demand, Senator Kamala Harris claimed to hold the hearings on Judge Barrett is putting people's lives at risk, so she's only going to participate remotely. Well, that's good. The less we see of Kamala, the better, and maybe they're realizing that she's actually hurting the campaign rather than helping, as the focus group reported. Meanwhile, get this fantastic poll. 56% of Americans say they're better off now under Trump than 4 years ago under Obama, Biden, and that's during the pandemic. This is simply incredible. There's a very nice article discussing this and other polls I want to share with you. Gallup poll shows how Trump stacks up on critically important question. Dems should be very worried about the answer. Among the polls covered was indicating good notes for President Trump is a Zogby poll showing he has a 51% approval rating. That's an important metric to hit, as Gallup has observed historically. All incumbents with an approval rating of 50% or higher have won re-election, and presidents with approval ratings lower than 50% have lost. So that's from Zogby Analytics, approved 51%, disapproved 48%. But with it's at approval. Here's another important metric from Gallup itself. During his presidential campaign in 1980, Ronald Reagan asked Americans, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Since then, this question has served as a key standard sitting presidents running for re-election have been held to. So Gallup asked Americans between September 14th and 28th, if they were better off now than they were 4 years ago, and 56% said they were, even in the midst of a pandemic, a lockdown, and all the rest of the happy horseshit we're enduring. The number was actually even higher in January before the virus at 61%. Imagine where it would be if we hadn't been besieged with all of this ridiculous nonsense. Meanwhile, looking back at past election years, in December 2012, 45%, 2014, 47%, October of 92, 38%, July of 84, 45%. So this is really very, very good. Not only is it a significant positive sign for Trump, but if you look at the number of presidents in the prior years, he's higher than presidents who were incumbents and won in those years, 1984, 1992, 2004, and 2012. He's 12 points higher than Reagan, who won in a landslide in 1984, 11 points higher than Obama in 2012. That should terrify Democrats, especially when combined with Trump's approval rating. This is really, really good news. Really good news. Meanwhile, some of the Democrats have gone stark raving mad. I mean that literally. I mean that literally. I'm talking about Keith Olbermann, for example. Now, I got to tell you, there was a time not so long ago, it was before they basically gave Keith the boot and installed Rachel Maddow. I don't know why they did it. Keith Olbermann's show at the time, Countdown, was the most brilliant political program and television I've ever seen. I would even rank it above Tucker in terms of the organization and the delivery. It was sensational, absolutely sensational. I was a huge fan of Keith Olbermann in those days. Well, listen, here's what Keith Olbermann tweeted on October 9th. Terrorist Trump must be defeated, and his enablers and his supporters and the Mike Lees and the William Barrs and the Kyle Rittenhouses and the Amy Coney Barretts must be prosecuted and convicted and removed from our society. Think about what he just said. He's talking, among others, about Amy Coney Barrett, who's nominated to the Supreme Court, who has an impeccable record, who seems to be an admirable human being, intellect, mother from every point of view. And he's saying the Amy Coney Barretts must be prosecuted and convicted and removed from our society. Honest to God, that's completely lunatic, completely lunatic, completely lunatic. I cannot believe it. Here's one of the commentators about it. He's literally saying that all of us Trump supporters should be prosecuted and removed from society. This is not a joke. The communist revolution is here and they want blood. Well, let me just say, you know, any lingering positives I'd felt for Keith Olbermann have been thrown into the, flushed away. I mean, this is just outrageous. Meanwhile, President Trump reiterates Christmas Afghan withdrawal deadline. I mean, what could be a more wonderful Christmas present for America than to withdraw our troops from Afghanistan? According to Fox Business on Thursday, Trump reinforced his desire for the Christmas deadline. We're down to 4,000 troops in Afghanistan. I'll have them home by the end of the year. They're coming home, you know, as we speak. 19 years is enough. They're acting as policemen, okay? They're not acting as troops. I think this is wonderful. This is sensational. Remember, this is on top of Trump being nominated, and I think he deserved the nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize for having, you know, negotiating peace agreements between Israel and Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates and for reducing tension with North Korea. I mean, contrast this with Barack Obama, who had done nothing whatsoever to justify his nomination, much less his being bestowed with the Nobel Peace Prize. He had done nothing. I mean, I'm telling you, this Obama guy is turning out such a massive fraud and a phony. It's disgusting beyond belief. Now, here's a wonderful piece by a guy named David Sound. Listen to this. I got to share this with you. Every word is just so damn good. I didn't vote for Trump in 2016, but I'd crawl over broken glass to vote for him now. Even though I had voted for every Republican presidential candidate since 1980, I didn't vote for Donald Trump in 2016. Many Republican nominees have been huge disappointments to me, and I wasn't going to vote for yet another GOP candidate I thought would betray my trust. I couldn't imagine Trump as a genuine conservative who would champion limited government, respect individual freedom and liberty, and protect the unborn. But was I ever wrong? Although I didn't vote for Trump in 2016, I would crawl over broken glass to vote for him in 2020. In 2016, I was convinced Trump was just another New York liberal. On election night, however, I smiled. I was happy that at least Hillary Clinton wouldn't be president. And I suspected the next 4 years with Trump would at least be entertaining. The primary reason I didn't vote for Trump in 2016 was that I didn't believe him. I didn't trust that he would be pro-life, a non-negotiable issue for me. His bluster and bravado didn't appeal to me. I took him literally, but not seriously, in contrast to his supporters, who took him seriously, but not literally. That's exactly right, by the way, as an aside. By the time Trump took office, I was willing to give him a chance. He was a president, after all, and deserved the opportunity to prove himself. During the first year of his presidency, I was impressed by his commitment to keeping his campaign promises, unlike most politicians. By the end of 2017, I classified myself as a Trump supporter because of what he had already done as president. Trump's list of first-term accomplishments has been truly impressive. Building the strongest U.S. economy in my lifetime through historic business and personal tax cuts, resulting in millions of jobs created and record low unemployment. Cutting federal government regulations that had a stranglehold on American business innovations and entrepreneurs. Confronting China's trade abuses and negotiating fair trade deals with Canada, Mexico, South Korea, and Japan. Eliminating the Obamacare individual mandate. Rebuilding our military through investments in our defense capabilities, as well as securing the largest military pay raise in a decade. Nominating and confirming more solid conservative circuit court judges than any other first-term administration. Nominating and fighting for the confirmation of two originalists Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, and then nominating Amy Coney Barrett to fill the vacancy left by the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, and then brokering the Abraham Accords peace deal between Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain, consistently fighting Democrats to build the wall to secure our southern border, reinforcing and repairing hundreds of miles with more construction on the way. This is just a brief summary of the Trump administration's accomplishments. In addition, Trump has been the most pro-life president in U.S. history. He has promoted a culture of life in his domestic policies by supporting pro-life pregnancy centers, creating the Conscience and Religious Freedom Division, supporting health workers' conscious rights, and working to defund Planned Parenthood. Trump has upheld the same objectives in his foreign policy, such as through the Global Health Assistance Policy and by ending funding for the pro-abortion United Nations Population Fund. In January 2020, Trump became the first president to attend and address the March for Life. The Trump administration's accomplishments have been in spite of relentless daily attacks by the mainstream media, which act as the Pravda-like arm of the Democratic Party. Trump derangement syndrome is evident every day on television and online. Then as details about Spygate were revealed in early 2018, I became a full-throated proponent of Trump, incensed that the Obama administration colluded with Clinton, that's Hillary, of course, the Democratic National Committee and legacy media to weaponize the federal government, intelligence, and law enforcement agencies against an opposition party candidate and then a sitting president. When the Russian collusion hoax didn't work, Trump's enemies tried to take him down with fake impeachment charges over a legitimate phone call with a new Ukrainian administration. As president, Trump has largely kept his promises and fought against relentless opposition. I don't care about the tone of his tweets nor if his opponents think he's rude. I think he's a patriot who genuinely loves the United States of America and its people. And I'm sure I'm not alone. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Just to underscore the points with which I began today's conversation, here I have from Summit News, TV reporter shocked no one showed up for Biden campaign rally. Here's another, our California Democrats are in trouble. Well, if Democrats are in trouble in California, believe me, they are in a desperate situation indeed. And I reiterate that it's my belief that Trump could win a massive landslide. I think he could take all 50 states. It sounds preposterous, but that's how I see it. It's quite remarkable what we have going on, by the way, where the squad has now reaffirmed that they are supporting Biden, not because they think he's a good candidate, but because they believe he's the easiest to pressure, which was a point that we actually reported in the past, coming from Angela Davis and AOC. Here they are reasserting the position on October 9th. Squad unveils agenda to push Biden farther left after he's elected. A group of progressives, including the squad, unveiled their new agenda Thursday. They hope will push Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden farther to the left. The Working Families Party, which is made up of Black Lives Matter leaders, congressional leftists, organized labor groups, and environmental activists, introduced its People's Charter. Their plan calls for free universal health care, free universal child care, millions of green jobs, a cancellation of all student debt, a $15 minimum wage, the defunding of police departments across the country. Remember now, we're at that point of tension where the new Joe Biden, this is actually his body double, is now insisting he actually wants more funding for the police. But look how this is causing a major schism in the bizarre lunatic left. One of the plan's backers, Representative Ro Khanna of California, said the agenda will be a legislative guideline for what leftists of the House will push during a Biden-Harris administration. Or is it a Harris-Biden administration? Oh, well, they're not going to tell us until after the election. The aim is a clear agenda that progressives in the House will advance, focusing on these big items. We will push for Medicare for all during the pandemic. We'll push for the creation of millions of good jobs in communities left behind. We will advance a bold vision to tackle climate change and have a livable planet, which is the aspiration of the Green New Deal. I expect at least 80 to 100 House Democrats will support the basic principles and agenda, which echoes, of course, what AOC said last month, which she predicted that the left would push Biden further toward the fringe if he were elected. I think overall we can likely push Vice President Biden in a more progressive direction across policy issues, she said. I think foreign policy is an enormous area where we can improve. Immigration is another. Progressives openly admit Biden was not their top choice, but said the first step is to win the White House and then make our vision outlined in the People's Charter a reality. We've always said that electing Joe Biden was a doorway, not a destination. Working Families Party National Director Maurice Mitchell said in a statement, well, yes, very appropriate. Meanwhile, Democrat Joe Biden voters don't deserve to know if I'm going to pack the Supreme Court. Once again, you can see this is not Joe Biden. This is his more diminutive version. He definitely looks older. He has no earlobes. Joe Biden had earlobes. He's got brown eyes. Joe Biden had blue. He's got a more elongated face, kind of narrower. Joe Biden had slightly rounder. Here's a reporter asking this guy, whatever his true name might be, sir, I've got to ask you about packing the courts, and I know you said yesterday you aren't going to answer the question until after the election. But this is the number one thing I've been asking about, being asked about from viewers the past couple of days. Well, you've been asked by the viewers, who are probably Republicans, who don't want me to continue to talk about what they're doing to the court right now, Biden responded. Well, sir, don't the voters deserve to know, the reporter pressed. No, they don't, Biden responded. I mean, this is ridiculous. Where court packing is a highly controversial issue. Recent polls have shown only 34% of Americans support it. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg deplored the very idea. A New York Times reporter, Alexander Burns, said during a podcast episode that Harris told him last year she was absolutely open to packing the Supreme Court. Senator Harris told me in an interview, actually, that she was absolutely open to doing that, Burns said. Yesterday, Harris said on the issue, the voters need to first decide who's the next president of the United States, period. And that's obviously because it's going to hurt them. It's an issue not going to help them. Biden previously said he wouldn't talk about it because his answer would be front page news. Well, of course it would be front page news. That's because the people deserve to know. And the people aren't going to like they want to pack the court. Meanwhile, here I am looking at a photograph of Joe Biden versus the debate Biden. And as I have said before, they've gone whole hog. I got a campaign thing here for sent up by the Republican Party, which I think hasn't even noticed the difference. But they've got a photograph of Joe Biden who ran for president 33 years ago. Then they got Joe Biden ran for president again 13 years ago. Those are both a real Joe Biden where he has earlobes. They say now he's running for president again, saying poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids, and asking a black reporter if he was a junkie. But this is the Biden they're now going with. I think once they've made the switch, they can't go back. And remember, they had to have this guy out there for the presidential debate because he couldn't go for 90 minutes without changing his adult diaper. Meanwhile, here's another photograph. The leader of the U.S. Communist Party just endorsed Biden, which ought to speak volumes. The head of the U.S. Communist Party has come out and supported Joe Biden for president. Job Akbayan, leader of the Revolutionary Communist Party USA, asked voters to deliver a decisive defeat to Trump and the whole fascist regime. Avakian, who led the group since 1979, said in a statement, at this critical hour, Every appropriate means of nonviolent action must be utilized to move this remove this regime from power. Going on to say, and if, in spite of mass protests demanding the removal of the Trump-Pence regime, this regime remains in power when it is time for voting, then using all appropriate means to work for the removal of this regime must include voting against Trump. Wow. Wow. That guy is really lucky to have the support of the Communist Party, because obviously they feel more comfortable. They feel more comfortable with Joe Biden and the Democrats than they ever would with Donald Trump and the Republicans. Meanwhile, and in all honesty, this is the most serious story I've ever had to report upon, given the situation we're in. You got to pay very close attention to this because it has profound consequences for the citizens of the United States. Brain damage from masks cannot be reversed. Brain damage from masks cannot be reversed. Published in Health and Money News, October 9th. COVID-19 masks are a crime against humanity and child abuse. Now, I publish this as a blog. You can find it at jamesfetzer.org. I sent it out to this list. I have an email list of a couple of hundred. I sent it out. I've also tweeted it on my Twitter account at Jim Fetzer. This is very, very serious. Listen to every word. Dr. Marguerite Grisson-Brisson, MD, PhD, is a consultant neurologist and neurophysiologist with a PhD in pharmacology, with special interest in neurotoxicology, environmental medicine, neuroregeneration, and neuroplasticity. This is what she has to say about masks and their effects on our brains. Now, let me just say, I don't think I've ever heard of anyone better qualified to address this issue of masks and their effects on our brains than this woman. She's got to be at the absolute pinnacle of expertise. Now listen to what she has to say, because it contradicts everything you've been told, everything you've been told. Listen to this. The rebreathing of our exhaled air will without a doubt create oxygen deficiency and a flooding of carbon dioxide. We know that the human brain is very sensitive to oxygen deprivation. There are nerve cells, for example, in the hippocampus that can't be longer than 3 minutes without oxygen. They cannot survive. The acute warning symptoms are headaches, drowsiness, dizziness, issues in concentration, slowing down of reaction time, reactions of the cognitive system. However, when you have chronic oxygen deprivation, all those symptoms disappear because you get used to it, but your efficiency will remain impaired and the undersupply of oxygen in your brain continues to progress. We know that neurodegenerative diseases take years to decades to develop. If today you forget your phone number, the breakdown in your brain would have already started 20 or 30 years ago. While you're thinking that you've gotten used to wearing your mask and rebreathing your own exhaled air, the degenerative processes in your brain are getting amplified as your oxygen deprivation continues. And remember, each time you recycle, 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 it's getting more and more oxygen depleted. Another problem is that nerve cells in your brain are unable to divide themselves normally. So in case our governments will generously allow us to get rid of the mask and get back to breathing oxygen freely again in a few months, the lost nerve cells will no longer be regenerated. What is gone is gone. I do not wear a mask. I need my brain to think. I want to have a clear head when I deal with my patients and not be in a carbon monoxide-induced anesthesia. There is no unfounded medical exemption from face masks because oxygen deprivation is dangerous for every single brain. It must be the free decision of every human being whether they want to wear a mask that is absolutely ineffective to protect themselves from a virus. For children and adolescents, masks are an absolute no-no. Children and adolescents have an extremely active and adaptive immune system, and they need a constant interaction with the microbiome of the Earth. Their brain is also incredibly active, as it has so much to learn. The child's brain, or the youth's brain, is thirsting for oxygen. The more metabolically active the organ is, the more oxygen it requires. In children and adolescents, every organ is metabolically active. To deprive a child or adolescent's brain from oxygen, or to restrict it in any way, is not only dangerous to their health, it is absolutely criminal. Oxygen deficiency inhibits the development of the brain, and the damage that has taken place as a result cannot be reversed. The child needs a brain to learn, and the brain needs oxygen to function. We don't need a clinical study for that. This is simple, indisputable physiology. Conscious and purposely induced oxygen deficiency is an absolute deliberate health hazard and an absolute medical contraindication. And I'm looking at the two brain scans, brain damage from lack of oxygen. This is appalling. An absolute medical contraindication in medicine means that this drug, this therapy, this method or measure should not be used, should not be allowed to be used. To coerce an entire population to use an absolute medical contraindication by force, there must be definite and serious reasons for this, and the reasons must be presented to competent interdisciplinary and independent bodies to be verified and authorized. When in 10 years, dementia is going to increase exponentially, and the younger generation couldn't reach their God-given potential, it won't help to say, we didn't need the mask, or we just didn't know. Let me reiterate, when in 10 years, dementia is going to increase exponentially, and the younger generations couldn't reach their God-given potential, it won't help to say, we didn't need the mask, or we just didn't know. How can a veterinarian, a software distributor, a businessman, an electrical car manufacturer, and a physicist decide on matters regarding the health of the entire population? Please, dear colleagues, we all have to wake up. I know how damaging oxygen deprivation is for the brain. Cardiologist knows it for the heart. Pulmonologist knows it for the lungs. Oxygen deprivation damages every single organ. Where are our health departments, our health insurance, our medical associations? It would have been their duty to vehemently oppose the lockdown and to stop it from the very beginning. Why do the medical boards give punishment to doctors who give people exemptions? Does a person or the doctor seriously have to prove that oxygen deprivation harms people? What kind of medicine are our doctors and medical associations representing? Who is responsible for this crime? The ones who want to enforce it? The ones who let it happen and play along? Or the ones who don't prevent it? It's not about masks. It's not about viruses. It's certainly not about your health. It's about much, much more. I am not participating. I am not afraid. You can notice they are already taking our air to breathe. The imperative of the hour is personal responsibility. We are responsible for what we think, not the media. We are responsible for what we do, not our superiors. We are responsible for our health, not the World Health Organization. And we're responsible for what happens in our country, not the government. I got to tell you, I find this situation completely, 100%, totally appalling. I have on this show been observing for a very long time that if you wear a mask, that the result of these masks is going to be killing brain cells. I mean, what could be more obvious? Killing brain cells. And that if you kill brain cells, that the IQ of the American people is going to be diminished thereby, such that I predicted a 5-point average drop in IQ based upon the wearing of these face masks. But I'll tell you, honestly, I now think it's going to be more severe. I now believe that what I was predicting is a minimalist version of what's going to happen, a minimalist version of what's going to happen. And I tell you, here we have a report from an eminent expert who could hardly be better, be doing better at all of these things, telling us that what I was predicting is actually an understatement. The situation is going to be much, much worse, much, much worse. And I'm just absolutely stunned that we have been subjected to this kind of grotesque abuse from which we may not, in some cases, ever recover. In some cases, we're never going to recover. I have another story I want to share with you, too, before we come to the break, which has to do with the fact that the New York Times editor has resigned because of bias and censorship. In other words, too much political correctness. Let me give you the idea here because it's really completely fascinating. Barr Weiss, who has served as editor of the New York Times for the past 3 years, has publicly announced her resignation, citing the paper's betrayal of the ideal stated by former Trump owner Adolf Oakes to make of the columns of the New York Times a forum for the consideration of all questions of public importance, and to that end, to invite intelligent discussion from all shades of opinion, because she's found that not all shades of opinion are being approved, not all shades of opinion are being allowed, and that she's being massively censored in the process. It to me is equally astonishing with what else I've been reporting to you here, that we're being subjected to face masks that are going to do ourselves and our children grave damage to our brains, and thereby going to affect the future of our lives, but that we have here an editor of the New York Times who's come to grips with the reality. Listen to this. It's with sadness that I write to tell you I am resigning from the New York Times. I joined the paper with gratitude and optimism 3 years ago. I was hired with the goal of bringing in voices that would not otherwise appear on your pages. First-time writers, centrists, conservatives, and others would not naturally think of the Times as their home. The reason for this effort was clear. The paper's failure to anticipate the outcome of the 2016 election meant that it didn't have a firm grasp of the country it covers. Dean Baku and others have admitted as much on various occasions. The priority and opinion was to help redress that critical shortcoming. But the lessons that ought to have followed the election, lessons about the importance of understanding other Americans, the necessity of resisting tribalism and the centrality of the free exchange of ideas to a democratic society, have not been learned. Instead, a new consensus has emerged in the press, perhaps especially at this paper, that truth isn't a process of collective discovery, but an orthodoxy already known to an enlightened few, whose job is to inform everyone else. Twitter is not the masthead of the New York Times, but Twitter has become its ultimate editor. As the ethics and mores of that platform have become those of the paper itself has increasingly become a kind of performance space. Stories are chosen and told in a way to satisfy the narrowest of audiences, rather than to allow a curious public to read about the world and then draw their own conclusions. I was always taught that journalists were charged with writing the first rough draft of history. Now, history itself is one more ephemeral thing molded to fit the needs of a predetermined narrative. My own forays into wrongthink have made me the subject of constant bullying by colleagues who disagree with my views. They have called me a Nazi and a racist. I have learned to brush off comments about how I'm writing about the Jews again. Several colleagues perceived to be friendly with me were badgered by co-workers. My work and my character are openly demeaned. On Kunk Reward, Slack channels where Masshead editors regularly weigh in. There are some co-workers insist I need to be rooted out if this company is to be truly inclusive, while others post Axe Emois next to my name. Still other New York Times employees publicly smear me as a liar and a bigot on Twitter, with no fear that harassing me will be met with appropriate action. They never are. There are terms for all of this: unlawful discrimination, hostile work environment, and constructive discharge. I'm no legal expert, but I know that this is wrong. I do not understand how you have allowed this kind of behavior to go on inside your company in full view of the paper's entire staff and public. And I certainly can't square how you and other Times leaders have stood by while simultaneously praising me in private for my courage. Showing up for work as a centrist at an American newspaper should not require bravery. Part of me wishes I could say my experience was unique, but the truth is that intellectual curiosity, let alone risk-taking, is now a liability at the Times. Why edit something challenging to our readers or write something boldly only to go through the numbing process of making it ideologically kosher when we can assure ourselves of job security and clicks by publishing our 4,000th op-ed arguing that Donald Trump is a unique danger to the country and the world, and so self-censorship has become the norm? What rules that remain at the Times are applied with extreme selectivity? If a person's ideology is in keeping with a new orthodoxy, they and their work remain unscrutinized. Everyone else lives in fear of the digital thunderdome. Online venom is excused so long as it's directed at the proper targets. Op-eds that would have easily been published 2 years ago would now get an editor or writer in serious trouble if not fired. If a piece is perceived as likely to inspire backlash internally or on social media, the editor or writer avoids pitching it. If she feels strongly enough to suggest it, she's quietly steered to safer ground. And if every now and then she succeeds in getting a piece published that does not explicitly promote progressive causes, it happens only after every line is carefully massaged, negotiated, and caveated. It took the paper 2 days and two jobs to say the Tom Cotton op-ed fell short of our standards. There's more. It's astounding. This is the New York Times, an editor resigning because she knows they will have called. I'll be right back.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. A at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I don't know what's happened to this country, but now we have a Newsmax report, CNN. Biden lead over Trump, largest by challenger since 1936. Have you ever heard such unadulterated balderdash? This is ridiculous. Ridiculous. He can't even get a person to show up. He and Kamala go together to an event in Arizona. No one shows up. And they're telling me, you got people standing in line for Trump for 7 hours. I mean, this goddamn country has just gone to hell. It's just disgusting that we have the media doing this. Thank God we have Trump around. Thank God we have Trump around. I'm just stunned. When political correctness first started to show up on the scene, I knew something was very, very wrong. Because it meant you couldn't speak your mind. It meant you had to censor yourself or you were going to be censored by others. I thought it was absurd then. And I knew it was a way of reducing our ability to think things through. And by God, was I right. This is just insulting, insulting beyond words. And they put out a fake body double for Joe Biden and the national media doesn't figure it out. Well, if I sitting here behind my computer and figured out, why the hell can't the national media? You got people who know Joe Biden. They've been covering Joe Biden. They know damn well this is not Joe Biden. They know damn well this is a body double. I mean, this is, I'll tell you, if they try to steal this election, there is going to be a civil war in this country. And the the GD progressives aren't going to be happy with the outcome. I tell you, we got 136 million Americans, armed Americans, who aren't going to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It's going to be unbelievable. This is unbelievable. I'm just shocked. Oh, great. We got some callers. I'm delighted. I'm absolutely delighted. Scott from San Diego. Scott, go ahead. Speak right up, my friend.
Hey, Jim. Love your show, man. I got to take issue with one thing you said, though, how you're saying that this is this Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party, or that it's changed. I would offer that every Democrat that I know or that I've ever known that is still a Democrat, they're still Democrats. So
every Democrat
I don't know
you've
where
ever
the change
known.
Came in. Yeah, all the yeah, like all my family members that were Democrat, and I used to call them communists back then. They always said, "No, we're not. No, we're not." And
well,
they're still Democrats today. So
yeah, but you
know, I think there's just sound, been.
You sound like a comparatively young man to me. I mean, look, I was born in 1940. I'm going to be 80 in December, and I regard myself as a JFK FDR Democrat for most of my life. I even voted for Bill Clinton twice. I voted for Barack Obama twice. But when it came to Hillary, my God, and what I know now about Obama, it's just disgusting. But on the other hand, you got to look at the opposition, because the candidates that the Republicans were running really were unworthy of support. So, you know, the Democrats, I think, have just really decayed. It's massive. It's palpable. It's measurable. And it's been in recent times. I do think political correctness has been the key to the it's a form of it's also what's known as cultural Marxism, where you have an attempt to really radically change the culture of a nation. All of this statue removing stuff, all this effort to exacerbate racial relations, it's all bad, and it's contrary to the best interests of the American people. Go ahead, make a rebuttal.
Well, yeah. One question I would like to ask. No, I agree with what you're saying. It's, you know, I don't know every Democrat, so, but I can say that not all Democrats are communists, but pretty much all communists are Democrat. Anyways.
Well, there are a lot of communists around the country saying Red China who aren't members of the Democratic Party, right? So what you're really saying is you mean those who are in the domestic USA of that inclination. It's bizarre. Scott, stick around here. Stick around so you can continue to participate in the conversation. Scorpio. Come on in, Scorpio. I'm really enjoying doing these shows with you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to work with you, Jim. You are on fire today, let me tell you. And, you know, this whole thing that, oh, Joe Biden is so far ahead. They're trying to tell people, look, you know, don't bother to vote. It's already over. Joe wins. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's really a very blatant attempt to stop people from trying to vote. It's amazing.
Oh, I think you're right, Scorpio, but it's just so blatantly contradicted by easily observable data. You know, I mean, remember, I've been recounting all these incidents where Biden goes somewhere and nobody gives a damn. Nobody wants to see him. He was up in Duluth, where I lived for 19 years. And because he was a curiosity when he was downtown and people were walking past, eventually there were 200 people there. But when he spoke in the Carpenters Union, he only had a dozen. Meanwhile, Trump's in elsewhere in Minnesota driving, you know, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people. He's got people lining up for 7 hours. They do an event in Arizona, and the local reporters are just done because not one person shows up, and that was Biden with Kamala together. I mean, this is unbelievable.
The double ticket still couldn't draw the crowd. And, you know, you showed a picture on your show, Need to Know News, this morning. With maybe, what, a dozen people at his rally in these pathetic little white circles. It's pathetic. And just let me make one last comment, Dr. Fetzer, that, you know, you're right about this whole politically correct thing. It's an end of free speech, and it's all about mind control. Only one kind of speech is allowed. And, you know, classical liberals were all about guarding free speech. That was one of the basic tenets of being a so-called liberal. But that's all under the bus now. And, you know, the only freedom that these liberals seem to care about is the freedom to have as much anal sex as you want. Beyond that, I don't think they believe in freedom whatsoever.
It's absurd, isn't it? It's really, truly absurd. And here you get, look, CNN is just going, go ahead.
Oh, the Democrat Party has become the party of special needs.
Of special needs, okay. Special.
Yeah, they're the special needs party.
Sorry, I like that, Scott. Hang on a second. I just want to make this point. According to CNN, Biden leads Trump 55-43% among likely voters. Well, that's in a new ABC News Washington Post poll. 57-41 among likely voters in a CNN poll, and 53-43 in a Fox News poll, all of which are obviously complete rubbish. Complete rubbish. Giuseppe, come on in and join the gang.
Hey, man, this is the real Joe Biden. You ain't black if I forgot what I was going to say. I forgot. Anyway, Jim, heck of a first.
I forgot. You got it right, Giuseppe. How bizarre. This is all so weird. I mean,
it is bizarre.
A country I love that's just sort of falling apart because of these miscreants, and they call themselves Democrats and progressives and newsmen, but they're nothing but tools. I mean, it's just absurd. Giuseppe, more.
Oh, my goodness, Jim. It is so bizarre. I mean, I don't understand the high-paid strategy planners that the Democrats have hired, thinking that what they're putting together, which is to fuel the fire of Trump derangement syndrome, fuel the fire of hatred of the majority population, the silent majority that wants a stable society that obeys the laws, that isn't violent, that doesn't burn, loot, and murder, and why you're going against that as a way to get elected when that's 60%. And if you factor in the working and stable Mexicans, blacks, and Chinese, that's 80% of the voting population you're offending with this radical globalist insanity. But who's driving the Democratic bus? Jorgi Schwartz, the Hungarian Jew who sold out his fellow Jews to the Nazis. This is George Soros. This is his color revolution. What's insane is I kind of chuckled, oh, wow, they're having a color revolution in Egypt a few years ago when Soros led that. And I'm like, that's just for these, countries that are weak. And now he's doing it the United States, and he's not far away from achieving his goal. It's people need to wake up, rip off the masks, and act like a real American.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And we got Paul standing by, and I know he wants to be a part of this conversation. Come on in, Paul.
Yeah, today I'm batting fourth. So that's in baseball, that's a cleanup spot. I like it.
There you go.
I think Scorpio hit it on the head with the anal sex drop there. I think the Democrats should basically make that their plank. We're the party of anal sex. I'm holding in my hand right now, by the way, part of a solicitation from the Joe Biden Victory Fund, which arrived last week in the mail. And my favorite line, one of the many great lines, it's got a picture of smiling Joe waving his hand. And he says, quote, "Our best days still lie ahead. Together we will choose hope over fear, unity over division, and truth over lies." And here's my offer. I'm going to go ahead, Jim, if you want to contribute, say, $5 or $10 to the Joe Biden Victory Fund, I will double that amount to your legal defense fund for the appeal.
Let me bring Scott back in here. He was the first to call. Scott, go ahead. Give us further of your thoughts.
Yeah, the thing about when he was having when they were having that debate, you know, the people that are on the Biden side, they know exactly what he means when he says what he says, and when he doesn't say things, they agree with it. I don't think he alienated any of his base by not saying that he was for the Green Deal or that kind of stuff, because they know what he's going to do. They don't care what he says.
Interesting, you see. Okay, in other words, they're willing to just pretend for the sake of politics.
Yeah, they've been pretending all the time. They'll never tell you what their true intentions are, because they know if they did, then you'd laugh at them. You'd tell them to get the hell out of here.
So they really don't believe in democracy, right? They don't really believe in free and informed elections. They don't believe in informed consent. They don't believe you're
entitled. Well, no, they believe in democracy, but we don't have a democracy. They don't believe in a republic, a representative republic, is what they don't believe in.
Oh, you mean they believe in mob rule?
Exactly.
Well, I
they believe in the strongest and most violent will make the rules.
Well,
you know,
this is like the bully who just hasn't met his match. I mean, look, the massive force of Americans who are law-abiding have not spoken on this issue. They've been very patient and waiting to see law enforcement handle the matter. But the mayors and the governors have constrained law enforcement. They're even defunding or dismantling them. This is not going to play out well. I guarantee you it's not going to play out well. And in the end, these people who call themselves progressives and so forth are not going to be happy about the outcome. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Yeah, it is. It is, like I've said on past shows, I feel as though we were taking a nice stroll in the forest, and then we stepped through this bizarre looking glass like Alice in Wonderland in the famous Lewis Carroll book, and now we're in some bizarre Orwellian hologram that war is peace, hate is love, lies are truth, and Joe Biden is good for America.
Scorpio, your thoughts?
Yes, I'll tell you, I agree with what you said, Jim. Most of these so-called liberals are not going to be happy with the outcome. This is the classic example of useful idiots, as Stalin said. These people will be used and then discarded when the real system gets put into place, which is going to look very much like the Chinese system. And I think I pointed this out on your Need to Know news show earlier, but if you notice, like at the Joe Biden rally, not only was there only like maybe a dozen people there, but he had this copper piping behind him, you know, to make it look like, oh, I'm for the working guy, you know, here's a bunch of copper piping, look, I'm just a good old boy from Pennsylvania. I'm not a swamp creature that's been in Washington for 47 years. It was a pathetic prop that he had put up there.
Yeah, you're right. Let me see. That was in Erie, Pennsylvania, taking place. Scott, you want to add some more words again, or Paul, Scott?
I'm ready.
Well, I do have one picadillo that I have with Trump. Why hasn't he put any investigation towards the murder of Antonin Scalia?
That's a very interesting question. That's a really deeply buried issue. I believe he was murdered as well, and the circumstances seem to be quite bizarre in an isolated region. I don't know. Let me pick up. Maybe Paul has something to say about Scalia's death. Paul, your thoughts or anything else you want to address?
Yeah, I can't say I'm that well informed about the circumstances of his death. I've probably heard the same things that everybody else has heard. I would just tag along any number of other issues with that comment, such as what's going on with Ghislaine Maxwell, for example. You know, we could go on and on about that. But, you know, dealing with the present matter at hand and these comments about the Democrats and Biden, I think it's worth adding on what Giuseppe was just talking about with this inversion. Is I would just add on the fact that the unqualified are now the most qualified and the most deserving of the largesse of society. When you peel away and you look at what it is these people are really after, okay, and this goes all the way back to any analysis of Marxism or communism, including some very on-point analysis that was made by Ayn Rand when she appeared a couple different times You can see one of her interviews there in the 60s with Mike Wallace. And, you know, she was a staggering intellect. People have talked about the fact that, well, she's a Jew from Russia and so on and so forth. But I would say, so what to that? Because when you look at the points that she made in that and subsequent interviews, it's all about celebrating the victim. It's all about the promoting the least qualified and the underdog to positions of power to rule over us. And when you demonize the white man, what you're demonizing is the inventor, the producer, the individual human being out of all others that makes this world possible that we currently exist in and enjoy. And I'll just quickly mention, I was reading an article recently on a website about this documentary about the Chinese trying to rebuild some infrastructure in the Belgian Congo, okay, because a lot of it had deteriorated, especially some of the roads and the railroads that the Belgians had built. And it was interesting, their experience, the Chinese experience, was they were trying to give local people, local contractors, local workers, and so on, all the, the participation that they could handle. And, of course, what the Chinese found out was that they wouldn't show, they couldn't keep a schedule, they couldn't do the most basic maintenance of equipment, and work was not done properly, so on and so forth. In other words, all the well-known, well-documented characteristics of blacks everywhere. And one of the great comments to the article was that, well, I guess you can't blame this one on white racism. The bottom line is these people, and I'm almost done here with this little rant, these people, these demons, these weirdos, these disgruntled, ugly Jews that are behind all of this, they know very well exactly what they're doing. And their aim is simple. It's to destroy the most accomplished and the most physically attractive race, in my opinion, that exists on the earth. That's what they're after, and I don't think we can look at it any other way. And it's not going to be like China, because China is pretty much a homogenous country and culture, okay? They've already started to break down ours, and so they're not after, in my opinion, just to rule everybody here with this kind of dystopic totalitarian system. I think their first aim is to wreck us, to eliminate us, and then they can do whatever it is they want. Thanks.
Well, I've got a report here that three Chinese defense ministers have suggested exterminating everyone in North America so the Chinese can take control of. I mean, that's pretty far out, in my opinion. It's certainly not a thought that's ever crossed my mind before. Anyone want to pick up on that one?
Well, Jim, there's no question that the, let's say, the Democratic side of the deep state or the shadow government, they have done all they can to build up China since the very beginning. The Rockefellers have been involved in China since the early 1950s, probably helped fund the revolution as well. So, China is the best enemy money can buy.
Scorpio, this is really bizarre. Would the Chinese really want to expand the Chinese population into North America? I mean, that just seems to me so far-fetched. And yet, I got to say, I need to broaden my mind. And it is true the Democrats seem to be very enthusiastic about China and all things Chinese. And maybe they like that model. Certainly the globalists like the Chinese model of social merit system and, digital currency, so they can control every aspect of our lives. And if we don't behave, they can just cut us off so we don't even have the ability to eat. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, keep in mind that the pandemic failed. It didn't kill the millions they wanted to create this insane fear-demic that would allow for mandatory vaccination, which would become essentially a eugenics program. So the globalists, especially the Zionist side of the kosher sandwich, desperately needs a war now to be able to hide the fact that they have run up such an insane options derivative debt, which is essentially a bet on a bet, which is just wanton gambling digitally. Nothing exists as an asset to go against. They need to somehow wipe away $1.4 quadrillion in kosher gambling debt. And so now they need a war because the pandemic's not going to do it. So just like Trump is calling the SARS-CoV-2, which was developed in the United States, beginning at Fort Detrick, Maryland, then in Madison, Wisconsin, then in North Carolina, then when the U.S. got smart and outlawed this chimeric development, this mutation of a bioweapon, they took it over to Wuhan, China. So Trump is calling it the China flu. There's all these signs trying to rally the average American goof, as the great Mike Gaddy calls them, Bubis Americanus, into we got to fight China. We got to fight China, since people don't seem to want to fight Iran, which is too obviously a war for the Israelis. So now Scorpio brilliantly pointed out China's the great new enemy, and they need a war.
I don't know how it's going to come about. Trump is the most wonderfully non-war president we've had in ages. I mean, he hasn't initiated any wars whatsoever. He's actually promoting peace. So I don't. Is this another reason then they need to get rid of Trump so they can have more wars? I guess the answer is a little too obvious, huh?
Well, I don't know, Jim. The you know, Trump has been really saber rattling against China and Iran, and when he gets into his second term and he doesn't have to worry about ever getting reelected, he may be sidearmed or assassinated, because you know Mike Pence will bomb whomever, whenever.
Well, that's a disturbing prospect. Scott, did you want to come back to any of this? I could turn to Paul. Of course, Paul has endless opinions. Paul, your thoughts?
Well, I'll take that as a little backhanded compliment there. You know, I can only offer this. I mean, the idea of funding enemies, okay, is nothing new, right? So, I mean, just go back as far as you want to go in history or as recent, okay? Many, many occasions, things would never have occurred. Wars would not have taken place without the man behind the curtain rubbing his little hands together. So what Scorpio said is absolutely correct.
Hey, believe it or not. Believe it or not, we're already up against a break. We'll be right back. Stand by.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
I want to read you guys the latest report I got right here. F all you colonizers, Antifa topple statues of Teddy Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln in Portland. Antifa organized a day of rage on Sunday in Portland where they toppled statues of Teddy Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln and smashed up a museum and a host of small businesses. F all you colonizers, every one of you that's against Black Lives Matter can F the F off. Antifa rioters in the process of toppling the Portland statue of Roosevelt, they were soon successful in pulling it down. There was a video archive, not too two of America's greatest heroes, Teddy Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln, their statues destroyed tonight by the leftist mob in Portland. Said scene in Oregon as statues of Presidents Lincoln and Roosevelt are destroyed. Portland stands in ruins as a glaring example to the world of this movement's barbarianism and illiteracy. Lest we forget just why it's so important to stop appeasing it here. Antifa Black block rioters cheer and celebrate the mass vandalism and destruction in downtown Portland tonight. The Abraham Lincoln statue in Portland was toppled tonight by the indigenous faction of Antifa, who organized a day of rage. Antifa rioters in Portland have smashed up the Oregon Historical Society tonight. Antifa rioters smashed up the Portland State University police office. Overnight, Antifa toppled the statues of Roosevelt and Lincoln in Portland. Police didn't stop them. Back in June, they toppled the statue of George Washington. No one was ever arrested for that. Antifa rioters smashed up the Oregon Historical Society in downtown Portland in addition to destroying statues of Lincoln and Roosevelt. Tonight, the indigenous faction of Antifa held a day of rage riot. They banned video recordings of the criminal acts, which were planned ahead. They've toppled the statues so far using chains. It goes on and on and on. I mean, I'm just saying, how many votes is Joe Biden going to get from this? I'm telling you, Oregon is going to vote for Trump. And so is Washington. I think California is going to go red. I tell you, I swear to God, I think it's going to happen.
Giuseppe. Statues can't fight back either.
Well, go ahead, anyone. Scorpio, go ahead.
Jim, let me just jump in here. The whole point of getting rid of these statues isn't really about ideology so much as it is about erasing history. That's what it's really all about. There's plenty of room for criticism, in my view, for Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt. But this is about erasing history, and that's what this is all about. They want to completely erase American history so they can put people in limbo and bring them into a completely new system. And remember about Oregon, you know, these police were told to stand down by the governor of Oregon, and the governor of Oregon is the sister of Jerry Brown.
Right. So just quickly, I want to add on to what Scorpio just said.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Okay, because it's important to note, you know, this erasing of history, which, okay, I get, and obviously we've all heard before, but it's our history, okay? It's an in-house matter, okay? These people are not us, okay? I don't care how American other people claim they are, okay? The bottom line is these freaks, these foreigners, these weirdos, these blacks can make no claim at all to the culture and the history that is ours. That's
Paul,
the thing
Paul,
that's
Paul,
calling to me.
Paul, it's a little more than that. You know, we've just reported that 90% of the Black Lives Matter protesters are provided by crowds on demand. In other words, this is nothing indigenous. This is all staged. These are actors, crisis actors.
This is my point, though, is that these people, including Jews, okay, they're not indigenous Americans to me. Indigenous Americans, besides the Native Americans that were here, indigenous Americans are white Europeans that formed for 200 plus years the demographic core of this country, in most cases 90% plus. I mean, you can go look at the stats yourself. Most areas, including New York City, New York City was close to 90% white back in the 40s. Look at it now. Okay, so it's a foreign intervention. That's precisely my point. And these people tearing down our statues are crying about what should be an in-house matter. As far as I'm concerned, what Scorpio said is correct. If we want to make criticisms of Lincoln, fine. Roosevelt, fine. But it's from our point of view, the policy that affected us, the white majority that built this country and that is America.
Okay, so Paul, here's one. Here's another story here. My wife and I were just enjoying watching some football this weekend, some really good games involving Georgia and Alabama, for example, both of which prevailed, but where I think some of their luster was lost because of the number of points that were scored against them, showing they don't have really very substantial defenses. I expect Georgia is going to turn out to be a better team this year than Alabama, but professor says college football's return is a reflection of racism and capitalism. A professor, now I'm embarrassed to see, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison took to Twitter last month to claim that Big Ten college football resuming play is a reflection of racism and capitalism. Let's talk about how the insistence on returning to college football, not only a reflection of racism and capitalism, but also of the deep failures of patriarchal culture, tweeted Associate Gender and Women's Studies Professor Sami Shalk. I mean, this is just such rubbish, such rubbish. I'm embarrassed by this kind of nonsense, really bad.
From a non-American, by the way, too, correct?
I don't know what this woman is, but she's some weirdo who doesn't understand our culture. This is embarrassingly bad.
And just a real quick interjection, then go back to the other callers. I appreciate the time. But nothing could be more clear to me than what I recently listened to, which I've made mention on this show before. I periodically and frequently listen to William Luther Pierce and his recordings, which are available on National Alliance Radio. And the man speaks with clarity. So what I would like to say is this, and it really just crystallized hearing it. You know, all this stuff that they're calling about white racism, all right, all the time, that's nothing more than for us to notice the well-defined and well-experienced behaviors of blacks and other minorities, well-documented throughout history, and in many cases obvious. They want us not to notice, which is why they don't cover stories or they bury stories. And you could come up with a plethora of white victims of black violence, senseless, stupid, primitive, barbaric black violence that makes no sense at all. But yet, you hardly ever hear them. Meanwhile, you hear...
Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, Paul. Here we got another one. Get this flashback. Biden calls Supreme Court packing a bonehead idea. The idea of court packing is one Joe Biden was once opposed to, calling a bonehead idea during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing in 1983. Biden's comments were made responding to an attempt from then-President Ronald Reagan, who sought to replace three members of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. The current Democratic nominee for the presidency had argued against the move, comparing it to President Franklin Roosevelt's unsuccessful attempt in 1937 to pack the Supreme Court. President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to back the court, Biden argued. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct, he continued, but it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make, which it would appear he now wants to replicate himself. It put in question, if for an entire decade, the independence of the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America. I think he was right then and he's wrong now, but the whole thing is really ridiculous beyond belief. Mitchell, would you like to join in the conversation?
Hey, hello, Jim. Yeah, I was trying a new feature out here. They got a raise your hand feature now on Skype, so I figured I'd wave at you.
A raise your hand feature. Tell me more.
Anyway,
go ahead. Join the conversation.
I want to point out that Trump is an American, and he's caught in this political system, this duopoly. And anybody who thinks that there's, you know, nothing but a hair should realize, I should say, that there's nothing but a hair's difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. They're all globalists. They're all federalists who want this overpowering central government. And they consolidated power in the presidency for 30 years. And now Trump has that power. So they're working as hard as they can to neutralize him and continue. From everything that I see, you know, and whether the media wants to say it or not, yard signs and people's vocal support matters when it comes to the real vote, not so much these stacked polls that they have. So, I see Trump winning. Go ahead.
Well, I agree Trump's going to win, but it's not because there's no difference between the parties. I mean, I think there's a huge difference between the parties, and this election reflects it about as clearly as it could possibly be reflected. I am yet to be convinced that Trump is a globalist. I do not believe he actually belongs to that little club, but there are many who are in the establishment. And that's why they've tried so massively to get rid of Trump. They're trying every possible way, Mitchell. If he were a part of the club, there wouldn't be anything
like that.
Get rid of
Trump. I don't believe Trump is part of that club, and that's why he is where he's at. All I'm trying to point out is that, the left and the right, they essentially work together to move our entire infrastructure and our government to this centralized Fed model. And they're not stopping. And Trump, bless him, he got in there. But he's surrounded by so many layers of corruption but when he says something, it does never trickle out to the policy level, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Go ahead.
Giuseppe, your thoughts.
Well, I think Mitchell is describing it as federalist, but the real agenda is all being driven by globalists, by the banksters, by the communists. They want the United States to be broken, its people divided physically and literally at each other's throats in a civil war. Then the UN troops can come in and we can be guided into the North American Union. I mean, they do not want a sovereign republic. And on top of that, you have to keep in mind that the inbred Talmudic Jew hates white Christians and the stability. They've hated white people and Christians since the Roman Empire, and they're literally so inbred that they have to, it's a blood libel to them, and they're doing everything they can the last 100 years to destroy this country, and they're playing the long game, and now they're doing pretty well at it. They've managed to change the immigration status so that there used to be a priority for Western Europeans, and now the priority is on all the third world African Far East types, and not to mention not enforcing the borders. This is all coming from dual citizen globalist traders. And this has been go ahead.
I just want to ask the three of you. Look, I recognize Israel seems to want to dismember the U.S., or at least the Talmudic element seems to want to dismember the U.S., though I gather there are actually even strenuous divisions within Israel itself. I just don't understand why. I mean, I know that it's the case. I know their domination of our Congress. I know their domination of our media. I don't understand why. What is the driving force behind it? Giuseppe, you first, and then Scorpio, and then Paul. Giuseppe.
As I mentioned a few moments earlier, the driving force is irrational hatred of the stability of the white European race and its colonies, the United States, Canada. As such, they literally hate us because we're stable. We have a decent, normal two-parent family. And so they want to destroy that. They want us to all be groveling wage slaves, and they control it all. I mean, that's their end goal.
I don't know, Giuseppe. I'm not quite sure I'm convinced that that's the deal. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Jim, I'd just like to touch on something that Mitchell was talking about. He was mentioning the Republican Party, and we should remember that the Republican Party has never had very much support for President Trump. It's been lukewarm at best. And so I think Mitchell's making a valid point there. Trump has not ever had the support of the Republican Party. They're going along with him because he's president. Right.
That is the establishment. Yes, there are Republican establishmentarians and Democrat. I agree with that. But the progressives aren't really establishment people either. I mean, they're the weird aspect. And Trump is actually a populist. I mean, he cares about the people. And that's not historically Republican. I agree. I mean, the historic image of the Republicans was very stodgy and extremely conservative and over preoccupied with not spending too much money and actually not caring about the quality of life of the people. Trump has transformed the party. The party of Trump is not the Republican Party of the past. And it's a huge...
That's true. And the reason why Trump is despised and loathed by the establishment is that he is actually talking about nationalism, and that is very dangerous. They don't want anyone thinking about nationalism, because nationalism really is kind of compatible with basic human instinct and basic human society.
I still don't understand why the Likudniks, why the Talmudic Jews would be so contemptuous. It must be rooted in that belief in Jewish superiority and all the other races only exist to serve the Jews. It must be that. And therefore...
It could be that the parasite has jumped ship onto China. That's another possibility.
Say that again, Scorpio?
The other possibility is that the parasite has jumped ship and it's becoming a tick aboard the back of China.
So I would just add this, okay? And by the way, first of all, Scorpio, your voice doesn't sound as strong as it normally does. You got any COVID or anything like that going on?
I'm taking a COVID test as we speak, but I think I'll be okay.
Okay, just checking. No, I mean, but it was actually...
No, I'm fine. I'm healthy as a bull, man. I'm doing good. Don't worry.
He was yelling for his lost dog.
What happened, actually.
Okay, because you do sound a little bit hoarse.
No, seriously.
Well, no, cool. It was noticeable. So the thing that I would take issue with, Jim, when you just said, it doesn't make any sense and that, must be in their belief in the Talmud. No. Okay. 2,000 plus years or more of similar recorded behavior cannot be a belief in a piece of paper. Okay. It's genetic. It's like the scorpion on the frog crossing the river. It's my nature, all right? So it doesn't really matter. It's entertaining for us to sit around in the tavern while we get all beard up and sharpen our axes to discuss, why it is they might be doing this way. But you know what? I'm not really interested, if I ever was. It's kind of like asking, why does a gay man want to put his thing where it doesn't belong? I have no idea.
Paul, I was asking my question. I'm not asking your question. You may think you have the answer or not care. I care, okay? I just want to get the answer to this because I really can't say I understand the phenomenon. I get your bit about history and all that. I just don't quite get it. Scorpio.
Well, it's a strange thing. I think that the problem is that the debt of America has become so great that they know that there's no way it can ever be paid back. And the interest payments on the debt are becoming greater than the total tax revenue. That's the other problem that we're all facing.
That's really, I think, by and large, just an illusion. But it is true when you get so much diverted to pay the interest. I mean, if the money is actually going to pay the interest, it's all seemed really ephemeral to me, I gotta say, the whole damn thing. About the national debt, I think we ought to just absolve it, just forgive the debt, get rid of it, get rid of the Fed. This idea of pain.
Yes, it's odious debt, no question about it.
To print the
Touche, Jim. Okay, I mean, everybody thinks that. We don't really owe it because they didn't really do anything. They didn't surrender anything to acquire this debt, if you understand the mechanics of it. But to the point about all these questions you're asking about, you just don't understand why. Okay, sure, I get the wandering, but you could say the same thing about why can't we have clean air? Why do they have to mess with the weather? Why can't we have, stable, prosperous society? Why are you saying no? I'm posing the same sort of why question. Okay, why is it they're doing what they're doing? Why do they have to bring in all these immigrants what nobody wants, right? Nobody in Minneapolis voted to have 100,000 Somalis in their town, okay? So why are they doing that? It's because it's what they do. So that's just my take on it, okay? And I don't really care why they do it. I just want it to stop.
Yeah.
And it's not going to until we make
it. Well, I just thought with this audience, with you, the three of you here, that you might enable me to get a better grip on this particular issue, which I find baffling. Still, even if it's in their genes, I still find it baffling. I'm just admitting it's peculiar to me. Giuseppe.
I'd rather.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say, I'd rather buy you a drink or two than try to.
Well, that sounds like a plan. Giuseppe, further thoughts of yours?
Well, Jim, I think that you're torn between the America you knew when the globalist parasites really hid in the shadows and the one that we're living where they've come out in full strength and are seeking to destroy this country, and so you just choose not to see what's going on, and I can't blame you for that, because it's almost too hard to believe that a handful of satanic parasites can come this close to creating a civil war, to destroying the legitimacy of government, to creating a false pandemic and killing people. I mean, they're doing all this. This is not discussion, it's fact. And yet it's hard to believe. I get it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not that I deny what's happening. I mean, I'm reporting on it every single day. But there are elements of it that still puzzle the hell out of me. That's all. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, I think my final thought would be that America represents all of the wrong things for the globalists. And that's why the attack on all things American. America was born from a revolution and from standing up to a power that the people didn't like. And that's why America has to be brought to its knees, at least according to the globalists.
How much is there a British element to any of this, Scorpio, in your opinion? I have people intermittently who tell me they think that a lot of this is really being run out of the UK and that they never forgave us for breaking away. I just find that really a stretch, but I'd be interested in your opinion. Maybe I'm underestimating some of these issues.
Well, I think it's a stretch, but it's also a matter of so many of the banking cabal is based in the city of London. And I think that's where a lot of these plans have been hatched, let's say. And so I think it's really about the bankers more than it is about American history.
Go ahead, Paul.
And just to remind you, and of course, I don't need to remind Scorpio and Giuseppe, but bankers, of course, is one of those terms that's generic in nature. It's much less British than it is anything else. But yeah, there's a lot of good research that shows that we never really, quote, won the Revolutionary War. We just sort of had a modification of terms, and that we are still indeed under the government of England in terms, especially of our law and our court system. There's a lot of very solid evidence to that fact. So, yeah.
Mitchell, would you like to come back in and add a few further words, my friend?
Oh, yeah, we got about 2 minutes left here, Jim. Well, I'll say this. Political placebo pill, you know, put together with misinformation and disinformation, you know, psyops. And remember that the Five Eyes in London and the UK are an integral part of the globalist spy agency is what I refer to it as. These folks have used the best psychological control methods throughout our history. And they're evolving them, of course, with the saturation of social media. So this is the only way they get away with this stuff. And they'll continue as far as I see. Go ahead.
Okay, well, let's do a final round here. Let's start with you, Paul. Your final thoughts?
Well, I would say a quick anecdote is back in the late 80s or early 90s, I was at a party. My roommate at the time, he was in high tech. He worked with a lot of Chinese, so he had Chinese friends. And there was a gal there who was Chinese who invited me to this thing. I think I was one of maybe two white people. And there was like drinking and eating and toasting. And at one point, one of the Chinese guys proposed a toast. Here's to China ruling the world. Now, it was interesting because one of the Chinese guys I was friends with, I'd actually played tennis with him a few times. He was the only one that kind of went like, huh? Like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? He had that expression on his face. Everybody else just raised their glasses. So that mentality may exist in some Chinese people. It's just something to be noted. Quickly before I go, might want to take a listen to Scorpio's show this past Saturday because he had on two guests that went into great detail about many of the things that I've said. And
let me turn to Scorpio for his final thoughts.
Well, that's a very interesting story that Paul told, and I think it's quite believable. Let's not forget that China bought a lot of almost all of the mineral rights to Australia. So they're playing for real, and they're playing for keeps.
Giuseppe, you got just a chance here to squeeze in. Your final thought, my friend?
For over a century, starting with the Frankfurt School, mind control, MK Ultra, that's how they control the herd globally.
So thank you all for being here. You all have been wonderful.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.